You're listening to WWBC Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Now, verse 14 anticipates you having a problem with that. Catch what he says next, all right? The Holy Spirit knows you're going to have a problem with what he just said. You're going to say, you know what? That's not fair. That's not fair. He anticipates. See what it says, verse 14? It says, what shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? Is that not fair of God? Is God unrighteous because he loves this one, and the Bible says he hates this one, and they haven't been born yet, and haven't done anything good or bad? The common objection is, but that's not fair. That's not fair. Look what he answers that at. He says, God forbid. Meganoito in Greek. That's a vein-popping, gavel-slamming. Are you out of your ever-loving mind? You think God's not fair? Verse 15, he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whomever I will have mercy. I will have compassion on whomever I will have compassion. Next example, the great Pharaoh of Egypt. Verse 17, the Bible says to Pharaoh, for this very purpose, there's the word again. For this very purpose, I have raised you up, that I might show my power in you, and that my name might be declared in all the earth. Therefore, he has mercy on whom he wills, and whom he wills, he hardens. You will say to me then, well, why does he find fault? Who has resisted his words? In other words, how can you blame me for being an unbeliever since you've made me this way? That's what the objection is. That how can you blame me for being an unbeliever if you just said you hated Jacob before he was born? I know that's a tough doctrine. I know. Sorry. Look how his answer. He doesn't say yes. He doesn't say no. Look at what his answer is. He said, who are you to talk back against God? That's his answer. Who are you to reply or talk back to? Who are you to talk back to God? Will the thing formed say to him who formed it, why have you made me this way? Does not the potter have right over the clay from the same lump to make one vessel for honor and another for dishonor? What if God, wanting to show his wrath and make his power known, endured with much longsuffering the vessels of wrath prepared for destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy? That would be you, which he has prepared beforehand for glory. And even us, whom he called, not of the Jews only, but also Gentiles, as he said in Hosea the prophet. Now, he's going to quote an Old Testament prophet. He's just showing you that this was written long ago, before the New. This was God's plan all along. That's why he's going to quote something 700 years before Jesus. I will call them my people who are not my people. I will call her beloved who was not beloved. And it shall come to pass in the place where it was said to them, you are not my people, there they will be called sons of the living God. All right, now church, I don't start for a minute to claim that I can understand the workings of Almighty God, because I don't understand. But I do know that God is good. And I do know that God has a plan. And I do know that his gracious plan includes me. And I do know that his gracious plan includes you. And I do know that he desires you to be saved because his word says so. All right, now first of all here, and he has a plan for Israel too, a glorious plan for them to be saved. We'll get to that though in 2 weeks. Next week, John the Baptist. The week after, we're going to see what God's plan is. So first, let's look at where Israel went wrong. Let's go down to verse 30. Now these verses are on the handout. Chapter 9, verse 30, as he's going to compare again two groups of people side by side, Jews and Gentiles. Verse 30. Everybody there? Romans 9, 30. He says, what shall we say then? That Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness. Now, a Gentile is someone that's not Jewish. That would be probably 99.9% of us. Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness. Remember what righteousness means. That's when God officially slams down his gavel, declares you not guilty, and accepts you, receives you. Sins and lawless deeds he's had amnesia with. The physical act of God receiving you and accepting you with the knowledge that when you die and leave this world, you will be ushered up by the angels up into heaven and you will be granted entry into heaven. Righteousness is when you're right with God. It's what the word means. He's saying these Gentiles kind of just stumbled into it. They weren't searching after it. Okay, verse 30. What shall we say then? That Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have attained a righteousness, even the righteousness of faith. But Israel, there's the other side, pursuing the law of righteousness, has not attained to the law of righteousness. See the problem there? Verse 32, it says, why? Because they did not seek it by faith, but as it were, by the works of the law. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense. And whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. So what does he mean by this? Number one, the Gentiles are in right standing with God because of their faith in Jesus Christ. Number two, the Jews stumbled and fell on their quest to be right with God because they stumbled over the rock and over the stone. You see, the Jews were trying to get right with God by keeping rules. That's the problem here. They try to get right with God by keeping rules, making salvation on them instead of salvation on him and by him and through him. We all know that we can't keep rules to be right with God, because he says if you're going to go down that avenue, he said, whoever keeps the whole law and stumbles at one point, we read in James 2:10, whoever keeps the whole law and stumbles at one point is guilty of all. If you're going to go down that avenue of trying to keep rules to be right with God, then you better keep all of them. Because when you stumble once, you are guilty. Now the Apostle Peter put it this way. But 1 Peter 2:6, he says, coming to Jesus as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God. There's that word elected again. Right? God going into his voting booth. Chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it's contained in the Bible, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. he who believes in him will not be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But to you who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumbled, being disobedient to the word to which they were also appointed. All right. If you guys would turn with me, please, to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21, starting in verse 33. If you guys need a Bible, should be one underneath the seat in front of you, hopefully. I've got an NIV here. Does anyone need a Bible? Anyone? The orange goes with my jacket, doesn't it? Matthew 21, verse 33. We're looking at where the Jewish race went wrong and what's happened to them. How did they get in this quagmire and position that they're in? Matthew chapter 21, verse 33. Jesus speaking. Everybody there? He says, "Hear another parable. There was a certain landowner who planted a vineyard and set a hedge around it. And he dug a wine press in it and built a tower. And he leased it to vine dressers, and he went into a far country. Now when vintage time drew near, he sent his servants to the vine dressers that they might receive its fruit. And the vine dressers took his servants, they beat one and killed one and stoned the other. Again, he sent other servants, more than the first, and they did likewise to them." Verse 37. "Then last of all, he sent his son to them." So we know who he's talking about now, right? "Lastly, he sent his son, saying, 'Surely they will respect my son.' But when the vine dressers saw the son, they said among themselves, 'Look, it's the heir. Come, let us kill him and seize his inheritance.'" Who thinks that way anyway? What kind of fool would think that? "Come, I know. Let's go ahead and kill the Son of God, and then we'll take all his stuff. No problem, right?" Verse 39, "So they took him, cast him out of the vineyard, and killed him. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what'll he do to those vine dressers? So they said to him, 'He will destroy those wicked men miserably and lease his vineyard to other vine dressers who will render to him the fruits in their season.'" Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in your Bible, 'The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone'?" Now, a cornerstone is one rock that they build a whole house on. One 90 degree at one corner. Everything gets built on the cornerstone. It's the main stone in the building of the house. And he's quoting Psalm 118, verse 22. That's what David wrote. "Haven't you even read in your Bible, 'The stone the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone? This was the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes.'" All right, now catch this turning point in history right next. Still in effect here to this day. Jesus says this. I'm in Matthew 21, 43. He says, "Therefore I say to you, that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you, and it will be given to a nation bearing the fruits of it. And whoever falls on this stone will be broken. But on whomever it falls, it'll grind him to powder." Now when the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they knew that he was talking to them. And this is what's happened to the nation of Israel. And perhaps this is what's happened to you here today. Maybe this is what's happened to you, that there's a huge stone right in your path. Perhaps you've fallen over it. Maybe you've stubbed your toe on it. Maybe you've banged your knee on it. This is where we're at. the 14th of December, year of our Lord, 2025. There's a giant stone here in the path. It's happened to Israel, and it can happen to us as well. Jesus' proclamation naturally has come true. The Jews are trying to get right with God by keeping the law. We all know that that's impossible. No ordinary person can keep all of the laws written in the Bible. There's only one way to get right with God, and that's by receiving His Son, Jesus Christ. And that same stone the Jews have in their path is the same stone that's in yours today. His name is Jesus. You got a big stone in your path. As you go about your daily life, all of a sudden you run face to face right in your path a giant stone. It's like a meteor. And you can't move the stone because it's too big to move. It's crashed down right in your path. Here you are, minding your own business, going about your daily way, and now, wham, there's a giant stone right in front of you. It's blocked your path. You can't squeeze around it. There's not enough room, just like on the inside of my garage at home now. What do you do with the stone? You see, you've got to confront the stone. You have to confront this stone. You must deal with the stone that's in your path one way or the other. Jesus said, whoever falls on this stone is going to be broken. You might hurt your knee a little bit. You might break a toe or break a finger. But praise God, you're still alive. What are you going to do with this stone that's in your path? What are you going to do with the stone? Then he says, whoever the stone falls on, it'll grind them to powder. So my question is, what do you do with Jesus Christ here today? He's the stone in your path. There's no way around him. What do you do with Jesus Christ? Now, for all of you who embrace the Son and receive him as Lord, all of a sudden we see a door now that's cut into this stone. Jesus invites you to enter into the stone through the door. See, you can't go around him. There's just no room around him. But as you approach him, you see, you're going to find a door that's cut. Even Daniel says in Daniel chapter 2, it's cut without human hands. There's a door there now. And Jesus says, he says, I am the door. If anyone enters in by me, he will be saved. And he will go in and out and find pasture. I believe that's heaven he's talking about. There's a rock, a stone, it's in your way, you can't go around it. All of a sudden you see a door there in the rock, and the door's got a name, and his name is Jesus. And he says, if you go in through me, you can go in and out. It's just like a cat door at your house. You can go in and go out and find pastures. So, you know, all those movies were right that I've watched all these years. You know, heaven, you get frolicking out there, tiptoeing through the tulips and all that jazz. Enter in through him. And he says, you go in and out. You can go in and out, just like your cat door. You go in and out. And out and find pasture. That's pretty cool. I look forward to that. But make no mistake about it. You can't get around the stone. You have to deal with the stone. What's your plan? Now, he's going to give us the right plan here coming up in a second. Now, the Jews refused God's offer of salvation. You cannot make it into heaven by being a nice person. You need two things. You need help and you need blood. Blood and not your own. Because we're sinners. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. It's the blood of the Son of God that obliterates your sin. You've got to receive that. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the Bible says. They're forgiven. Look, someone has to atone and pay the price for our sins. Enter in the Son of God. Now let's crack into chapter 10 here. Back to the same theme, start at chapter 9. It's like skip the whole chapter. And now verse 1 is the same as chapter 9, verse 1. Brother, my heart's desire and my prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. All right, there's the subject matter. Salvation, right? Verse 2, for I bear them witness that they've got a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, that is, being ignorant of how to get right with God, is what he's saying. Because you can't keep rules to be right with God. You're right with God by your faith in Jesus Christ. That's the only way. So they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ, this is Romans 10:4. Christ is the end. That's E-N-D, in case you're wondering how to spell end. Jesus Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Now, if you don't believe, he's not talking to you. If you don't believe, you still got the hammer over your head, right? The wages of sin is death. God comes in and says, I got a plan to deal with your sin. My son's going to die in your place. All you got to do, well, he's going to show us here right now what to do about this predicament here. Let's move down to verse 9 and we're going to wrap this up. But Jesus is the door that opens up heaven. Acts 4:12, it says, there's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Only the name of Jesus. Now, verse 9. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Everyone there. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, or one translation says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now that, perhaps, is the greatest verse of all time in all of the Bible. Your entire future, all given to you and summed up with one verse. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and if you believe in your heart that death is not the end, that is, Jesus was raised up from the dead and he lives again. If you believe that, if you believe he's Lord, if you believe that death is not the end, and you believe that he was raised up again from the dead, you will, because you can't believe that on your own, you need help to believe that. God's got to go into his voting booth and he's got to flick the switch on you. Oh yeah, Anthony, chicken, ding. And then when Anthony hears me get up here and say, Jesus Christ is Lord, something goes off in Anthony that says, that's me, that's me. I believe. You can't make that proclamation if God hasn't gone into his booth and flicked your name down there and opened up the curtains and came out of there. This is why I throw it out here, see what sticks. Jesus Christ is Lord. That's the only way to get into heaven is through his Son. I am the door. All who enter in by me will be saved. I throw it out there today and I see what sticks. If that's you, you say, that's me. I believe that. I believe that's all he's calling you to do is believe. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son that whoever went, the most known sentence in all of the world ever. Whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. All right, verse 10. With the heart one believes unto, there's the word. Down goes God's gavel. Out comes the words out of his mouth. Not guilty. Righteous. How do you get peace in life? To get right with God. So, with the heart one believes unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made, just like we did back here in the water here last week, right? Right, when Jesus said, whoever confesses me before men, him or her, I will confess before my Father, which is in heaven. Their own children were back here doing that. I believe Jesus is Lord, and he's my Lord. Now, on the authority of the Word of God, I say to you, when you die and leave this world, or if he comes back here before 12:15 today, you know where you're going. With the heart one believes unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Bible says, whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. For there's no distinction between Jew or Greek. Because the same Lord is rich to all who call upon him. Last verse. For whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Take that to the bank. And there's a great place to end. Salvation. Let's sum up what the Holy Spirit's taught us today. Five things. Number one, Jesus is God. The eternally blessed God. We read in verse 5. Number two, the second thing we've learned is God hasn't changed subjects here in chapter 9. He's still saying that what's happened to Israel, it's all part of his plan all along. He's put Israel on the back burner so he could deal with us. The third thing, Israel stumbled and fell because they tried to get right with God by keeping rules instead of by receiving his Son. Number four, we learn that Jesus Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. No more trying to keep laws to be right with God. We're right with God because of our faith in his Son. Lastly, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and if you believe in your heart, you will be saved. So I leave you on that thought today. Have you done that? Is the stone still standing in your way? I present to you, church family, and beyond today, the door. His name is Jesus. And everyone who enters in by him. Lord God Almighty, we thank you for the door. We exalt you here in the house here today. Lord, for those that are here that indeed you have flicked the switch, I pray that they would pray with me now, Lord. I believe, I do what you said in your word. I believe, Lord Jesus, I believe you are Lord. I believe that God has raised you from the dead. I call on your name today to be saved. You promise that all who call on your name will be saved. And I do that now. I call on your name. Write my name in your book and open up the door so that I can go through it. I receive you now today, Lord Jesus. And it's in your name I pray. Amen.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.